One stupid error.
Two mistakes.
Two stupid errors.
Terror stalks the streets as a scientist human transplantation experiment runs amok. The Astro Zombies.
It's rich. It's alive. It's vivid. Stereophonic sound.
Are you fed up with constantly searching for the records you want?
Fame. Fortune. Platinum records. It's every boy's dream.
Every one of my records means something. The label, the producer, the year it was made.
I'm teaching you about rock music.
Seriously, you're totally elitist. You feel like the unappreciated scholars.
Okay, let's spin a disc.
Hello there, podcast listeners. This is Cut by Cut Podcast, a podcast where we dissect, chop up, talk about, stir fry, and consume all the possible ingredients that went into making a song, track by track, off an album. We're still doing Walk Among Us by The Misfits. We're side B, track 5 on side B, which is episode 12. I think I got all the little factoids about this episode in there. I'm Chris.
And I'm Eric.
Hi. We're here.
Yes, we are.
Second to last song in this season one, Misfits, Walk Among Us.
What an absolute relief.
Yeah, I think I'm excited for the what's next.
The future of Cut by Cut.
We've been talking.
We have been.
And I don't know if we're ready to reveal, but we have plans.
No, I think we'll leave it for Brain Eaters, because yeah. Brain Eaters is a whopping 1 minute and 9 seconds.
Yeah, it's what's for
lunch. It's what's for dinner.
And
yeah. And so let's start with first, we're on Radio Mutation. I'd like to work that in at the beginning.
I don't know if I mentioned the song name.
Oh.
I said track 5 off side B. I said episode 12.
You did.
We're doing Astro Zombies.
We are.
Yeah. So right off the bat, you hit the record button, right?
I did hit the record button.
That's a little inside video.
It's hard to stop. It's hard to continue faking the excitement for this episode again and again.
That's my passive aggressive prod.
Really need to hire an editor.
Astro Zombies.
We definitely need to hire an editor. Yeah. So here we are, face to face, couple of silver spoons, and. This is, I don't have much to say about Astro Zombies other than one, there are a ton of amazing covers.
Yeah.
Two, this is probably one of my favorite songs.
Yeah.
And three, it's probably the most on the nose of any songs on this album.
Yeah, which I think it's hard to be distracted by, you know, in some previous episodes we've gone down rabbit holes on various facts and topics, and maybe we're just prepping people for a simpler, gentler episode here, but it's a song about a movie, and...
So why don't you tell us about this movie?
Well, I haven't made it through the whole thing recently. I know I've watched it at one point in my life, but the thing about this movie that always stuck with me was the opening scene.
Okay.
So it's a long, spoiler alert, turn down the radio, listen to it, suck it up, listen to the spoiler.
Wait, spoiler alert, no one's going to watch it.
Right. If you haven't already, maybe you never will. But the scene opens with a long, I'm talking long, like to the point, like we're talking like Coen Brothers scene where it's just...
Yeah, it's a single pan
it's
shot.
It's a woman, so there's a couple points about this, but it's a woman driving in her convertible Mustang. I believe it's a Mustang, not a car, dude.
Yeah.
Listening to the radio. So there's kind of a 60s kind of surf rock jam kind of playing in the background. She's driving down some California coastal highway. And the long winding drive back home. And one thing about this scene that I find interesting is it keeps flashing from her, kind of her profile, driving the car.
Yep.
You know, pretty young woman. And then it cuts to the radio, just looking at a still of a 1960s car stereo.
Yeah, yeah.
And then back to her, to the road, winding down the road. It just keeps cutting through these three kind of shots.
Yeah.
And I get the scenery, I get the view. Like, We're looking at a beautiful woman. We're looking at a winding road in that hypnotic kind of sense that we're winding down a road.
Yep.
What's the point? And there's nothing. I kept waiting for like a radio announcement.
Right. Yeah. It's just that.
It's just a radio playing music. So.
And it's playing that sort of royalty free. Yeah. You know, whatever they could, whatever was kicking around from another film.
Yeah. It's the Wilhelm scream of audio of like. You know, of,
that'd be amazing to see what other films that track appears in.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Right.
A missed opportunity here in Cut by Cut Land. But yeah, and then so just to cut to the chase here, pun intended, the scene ends with her getting beaten to death by her own high heel in her garage.
Okay.
By that's where we meet.
Yeah.
Presumably an Astro zombie.
Okay.
So, that was probably the most interesting thing about the movie to me.
It's a murder of convenience.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to say flat out that I think the most interesting thing about the movie is it was directed by Ted, is it Mikkola or Mikkels? And he did Girl in the Gold Boots, one of my all-time favorite B-movies, which is Doll Squad.
Don't know that.
Featuring Tora Satana, who also appears in Astro Zombies.
Oh, okay.
Tora Satana recently passed away. She died in, 2011. So I say recently, but like in my mind, because I did a special podcast for her at the novel when I was doing the novel.
Okay,
sound.
That's why it's ringing a bell.
Yeah, and that's why also it seems much more recent than it actually was. But her life was amazing. She only did 13 films and TV appearances
total.
Right,
not each.
Total, but like obviously it was Doll Squad, it was Astro Zombies, and most famously Faster Pussycat, Kill Kill Kill.
Okay, I know that one. Yeah.
So her whole life is super interesting. She apparently, before her 10th birthday, was the victim of a very violent act. And according to her, her attackers were never prosecuted because it was rumored that the judge had been paid off.
No kidding.
So she went and learned all these different forms of martial arts. And over the next 15 years, went and exacted revenge on each and every one of them.
Like, are we talking real life vigilante?
Yes.
That is amazing.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, that's...
Like, why she hasn't gotten her own, like, biopic blows me away, right? Because her story is super interesting. But here's the thing. She then started burlesque dancing and performed on the Sunset Strip. And then all these sort of things happened. But she ended up meeting Elvis and dating him for a while. He proposed to her. She turned his shit down.
Yeah, F you a couch. Been there, done that,
yeah,
Elvis.
Yeah, exactly. And then ended up getting, I think, married.
So was it which decade Elvis?
I don't know what year that was.
Was it Kung Fu Vegas Elvis or was it?
Yeah, it was probably Kung Fu Vegas Elvis. Yeah. But you know what? Elvis is Elvis. Even near-death Elvis could still probably have gone up and introduced himself to people and been like, "I'm Elvis." And they would have been like, "Oh my God." Yeah. She did marry a retired LA police officer and then remained married to him until he passed. And she worked like all kinds of crazy, you know.
Just jobs. Well, apparently she was running around as a vigilante, which
for the early part of her youth, yeah. And so she's just...
I wonder when she hung up her vigilante boots.
After the last one, after the end of that 15-year period, so 15 years from when she started.
Did she chronicle any of this stuff?
I don't know.
Yeah, you need to tell me more.
I know, clearly, there's too many questions dangling.
I have a new obsession.
then good, then start chasing it. But what I find to be insane is obviously she was brought into Russ Meyer films, but she was brought, most of her films are these female empowerment films.
Yeah.
Like, what do they call them? One of the articles I read called it like Odes to Female Violence, where women are the assaulters. Women are exacting revenge.
Yeah,
Things have been, you know, they're either secret agents or they've been wronged. And of course, Faster Pussycat, Kill, Kill, Kill is the impetus for Quentin Tarantino's Grindhouse.
It's totally escaping me right now.
Death Proof. Right, where the ending is, well,
we got to stick it. I'm going to post-edit note. got to stick Kurt Russell's monologue there about taking the left turn or the right turn.
Yeah, yeah. That whole movie is brilliant.
We can't use it,
And it's not. I mean, it's ultimately brilliant because at the end, like, Zoe Bell is amazing in that. Rosario Dawson, who's just amazing.
The moment in that movie that comes to my head is when that scene where they're driving down the road and one of them's on the hood of the car.
Yep, that's Zoe Bell, yeah.
Which might very well be a reference to, I think, another scene in one of these Faster Pussycat movies or another one. But that when she's riding the hood of the car, that's fantastic.
I will say with Rosario Dawson, without knowing her as a human being, is one of my favorite celebrities.
Yeah.
She is just, I talk about her a lot on my other podcast.
Yeah, what was the quote I always liked from you? It was, if you could invite one young lady to sit down and have a platonic dinner or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That,
oh, dude, totally. Wow, good memory. Yeah, I just want to sit.
I probably didn't do your wording justice, but you had said that which I know was partially sarcasm, but,
there's nothing.
Not sarcasm, but whatever.
But ultimately, do you have anything else you want to talk about Astro Zombies? I have one last stupid fact because I went back and I looked at the number 214, which is the length of this track.
Nope.
All right.
Go ahead.
So this is what we'll finish out with and we'll just do covers.
Well, so there's a couple random. I always liked the movie poster for this poster. It's right. Kind of this alien looking, kind of a traditional.
Yeah, show it to the audience.
So look here. Yep, Exhibit A. it's that gray face kind of Area 51 kind of looking alien face, which is nothing like how they look in the movie. I always like when movie posters look nothing like the thing they design, you know?
Well, most of them are built separately, right?
Yeah, I never understood. As I keep bringing up in some of these podcasts, I don't have any talent to bring any of these things to fruition, but my nickel's worth of advice for anyone making movies is you should probably talk to each other and have your poster design match.
Well, I think because they were just done so fast and whatnot that they were, you had people doing this like early pulp novels.
Yeah.
The book or comic books, even the covers were never what was going on inside. They were about to titillate.
So the poster for this has advertised. It's like it's a woman. It's a guy with a like a Voorhees style machete, has a woman in his arm, clutches there, and he's kind of brandishing the sword. But scattered on the poster is like things you'll see in the movie, and it's like see. Astrospace Laboratory. See brutal mutants menace teenagers. It's these bizarre, like, I didn't know I ever wanted to see that kind of stuff, you know? But it was just obscure to me. And in watching the movie, I don't actually think I saw any of those.
There may be an alien. There may be a lab
the brutality thing is obviously in there because as I mentioned, the opening scene ends with a woman.
Well, this will blow your freaking mind. Blow your mind.
Hold on. You asked me if I had one more thing. You want to end with the mind blowing?
Okay.
Right?
Go. Yes.
I just had a random little discussion point here. So this scene has a woman essentially get beat to death with her own high heel.
Yes.
So not the weapon of choice I would think of for an astro zombie, but I don't know. You know, I would expect a phaser of some kind or some other kind of
means or astro space teeth.
It's a zombie, so I would expect either some zombie-like behavior or space-like behavior.
Yeah. And or some kind of astro behavior like the dog from Jetsons.
Ah, you beat me to the Jetsons punch.
Oh no, did I?
But beating with a high heel is not what I expect. You know, it kind of came. I was like, "What?" So I present to you. I know what I want to say, but what in your mind is the most, interesting kind of horror kill scene? The weirdest or?
Well, I would have probably said the high heel kill scene in Single White Female.
Okay.
Do you remember the Jennifer Jason Leigh joint?
I don't. I know. I specifically know the movie and the plot. I don't remember the scene.
A guy takes a high heel to the face in that.
Oh, like in the eye socket? All right.
But interesting death? Oh, man. Like you dropped this on me literally. Sometimes we do these setups. Where
I'm just looking for the skim off the top of the coffee, you know, the cream there, top of the.
That's a great question. I don't know. Nothing that's going to be like culturally cool and people are going to be like, whoa, dude, he knows that film. I would probably say, oh God, I don't even, I couldn't even begin to tell you. Well, my mind goes right to Single White Female because of the already established high heel kill.
That's
fine. I accept
that. It's okay. That's okay. If that's what your mind went. That's all. I was just looking for a kind of a quick association. Nothing that, if it required research, it was missing the
sure. Yeah. Missing
the point.
Ew.
So I have two that I dislike. So total, I love.
So you front loaded this. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I was ready.
You set me up. Yeah.
I was ready because it's my discussion point, sir.
Go for it. Our first fight.
Totally random.
Wow, now you're wrecking the studio.
I always love, this is non sequitur kind of stuff, but I loved the Darth Maul cut in half lightsaber kill there, and then then tumble down.
The two parts of him tumbling separately,
and then so that there's really nothing more to that. I loved Darth Maul, and I also loved that he existed for about a half an hour in cinematic.
He was a big lie. This whole podcast series has been about you just waiting to talk about Darth Maul.
Has it really? You think so?
I think so. It's been a big build up for that. Yeah,
but you knew it, and then. In terms of horror movie kind of sense, the Peter Jackson Dead Alive, is it? The lawnmower, just that scene always kind of killing with a lawnmower always.
I always liked Bill Paxton's death in Terminator, where he snaps in the Terminator space. He's like, no clothes today.
Oh, yeah.
No clean laundry. And he just like punches straight through and rips his heart out the other side.
Yep.
Or Kali from Temple of Doom.
Yeah, sure. Another heart.
Meet Kali in hell.
Yeah.
Those are pretty favorites of mine. So now, can I blow your brains away? Out? This was your transition, buddy.
Hit me with your best
shot. Let me literally shock you now. So I went with minute 214. Right? The song is 2 minutes and 14 seconds long.
Right.
So I went with 214 as our number. First of all, it's the area code for Middletown, Rhode Island. Second of all, Second of all, it's the area code for Dallas, Texas. And it's one of the original area codes in the United States.
Wait, say it's one of the original area codes?
Correct.
They didn't just establish area codes?
So area codes didn't start with like 001 and then the phone number. Okay. No, because there was no need to, because all small towns had... They were just local. You know, you had an operator who connected you.
Sure.
So as towns grew into cities, they needed to replace. Because it used to be, right, it would be a number and a letter system, which is why in old movies, they're all like, give me Klondike 154.
Oh, I don't think I've ever caught that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it was BK1.
And then, I'm actually feeling a little embarrassed. I don't know more about this given the kind of stuff I do for work, but it's you've inspired me here.
So 214 is the area code for Dallas, Texas. And I started looking around. And outside of Dallas, Texas, there's a town called Aurora.
Ooh.
And Aurora, Texas is the site of, in 1897. Are you with me on this one?
Oh, no.
In 1897, there was a UFO crash, apparently, in the town. Well, turns out that there's a theory that this UFO crash was actually a hoax because the town had, ready to do this, been set. Beset with a series of tragic incidents. One, boll weevils infested all the cotton and ate it all. Second, fire burned the west side of the town. After the fire, spotted fever hit the town.
Jeez.
And wiped out most of the remaining citizens.
It's time to leave your town.
Yeah. If you're a Bible-fearing town...
Yeah,
this is God saying, get the fuck out.
Wasn't that like three of the signs of the apocalypse? Bull weevils, spotted fever, and I'm kidding.
And the fourth is, so spotted fever, and then so half the town died, half of it was quarantined, and finally they were going to put a railroad near the town to bring culture and life to it, and it never got made.
Oh, jeez.
So like, poor Aurora, Texas just got the crap kicked out of it. And the theory is that they put on this... they put on this, you know, UFO crash and then buried the UFO pilot in secret.
Oh.
So I find it interesting, though, that this song about astro zombies would tangentially and weakly connect to this UFO incident based on the amount of time that the song is.
That is an amazing connection.
Isn't that crazy?
My mind is about to pop.
It almost makes me wonder, and I haven't tested this, and I'm not going to, but what happens at minute 214 in the song? In the movie.
Ooh.
Is that when she gets killed by the astro zombie?
Yeah, we could.
So we could do that, but it's going to take more time than I care to give it. So I have nothing left to say besides outside of rating it.
That pause was me tempted to like go watch the movie for two minutes and 14 seconds. But.
So how many, let's see, how many O's? I feel like we've done woes. Right,
yeah, I've done
and we've done zombies. So how many, what would your rating system be for this song?
This is one of, so in.
How many prime directives?
Prime directives, all the prime directives. This is one of my favorites. This is one of, I think, well, we already did the episode where we rated our favorite Misfits
songs.
So this is up there on the list of.
But I'm saying just for this album, this is a five.
This is, all the directives.
Yep.
Exterminate the whole.
Exterminate the whole human race. Melt all the faces. Exterminate the whole human race.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to begin.
I don't even know where to begin with covers
because they're all amazing.
Well, when you like the source material. So, you know, just anecdotally here, we've been trying to kind of bring some guests in that none of them have quite worked out yet because of scheduling and all that. But this was the one that we actually had like requests for. Like, we were trying to give people choices.
Right.
It's probably not poignant to report that we failed to bring in guests, but anyway,
if you'd like to almost be a guest on Cut by Cut.
This was one that like this was specifically requested because I think it is, it's one of the better songs. It's one of the just culturally more popular.
Yeah, songs. And I think so. It's got a little bit of everything. It's got the violence. It's got the horror show antics. It's got connection to strong source material. It's firmly based in B movie mythos. I say let's start with this first one. Go ahead.
I have a question for you. What the chorus kind of, as I look at the lyrics here, as I go over the chorus kind of bothers me.
What
actually does he want to say? What actually does he got to do?
And who is he doing it for?
He never answers these things.
Me or you. So if we go back to, I actually gave this some thought. If we go back to the idea that zombies are not mindless creatures who have risen from the dead, those are ghouls, and that zombies are the product of voodoo priests and voodoo.
But is he, so if we're taking him literal, these are astro zombies
right.
from the movie.
Right. But they have a supreme leader who has sent them to Earth and exterminate the whole human race.
See, this is the misconception of the movie too. I believe that they're actually created in a lab. I don't remember
No.
It's on. It is.
I've never seen this movie, and I'm telling you, you're wrong.
Okay, I won't even go.
They
there
are astro
you
zombies.
Win, sir.
So some part of some astro thing. They're not astro turf zombies. That would make them very much useless.
Nice.
But yeah, I firmly believe that this is a zombie thing, right? And even if they are built in a lab, there is a creator who has now sent them out to exterminate the whole human race with the touch of their burning hands, even though they use knives and high heel shoes and non-burning hands. So there's some liberties taken.
Actually, now that I think about this, I send my astro zombies
across the land.
So he's the, I'm picking up what you're putting down, smelling what you're stepping in here.
And so anyway, I don't want to go too far into the, who am I doing it for now? Cause now we get into really existential crap, right? Am I doing it for me or am I doing it for your own benefit, eliminating the human race? Right? It's okay. Luckily, we have Tura Santana to save the day. But
this was all in the place I was going with that was this is Misfits. This was Danzig's equivalent of Meatloaf's I Would Do Anything for Love.
But I won't do that.
Right.
And what's the that?
Well, we can get into that in another podcast.
No, we're not going to because be damned if I'm talking about Meatloaf in another podcast, which now means that we'll be talking about Meatloaf in another podcast. So this is Sunshine in the Reggae Mafia.
Yeah.
It's a great song. It's a female-led ska reggae band. I really feel like it mimics a better version of a ska version of this song or a reggae version of this song. It's too close to me, so I'm going to play this one first.
Okay. Let's do it.
All right.
Let's spin a disc.
Reality can be manipulated. Or why am I talking in the background?
I don't know.
All I want to know, all I want
like, it's good.
I'm going to pick on her for a minute. Who'd I do this for? Hey, me or you who? So she did it for a beverage.
Oh, a delicious chocolatey, watery beverage. I hate you.
I never understood what the actual flavor is.
It's chocolate, is it chocolate water. Yeah, it's chocolate. It's chocolate milk that never needs to be refrigerated.
Chocolate-ish.
That's a problem. This is the Valkyrians. This is the version I feel they're copying.
This is great.
Yeah. That is poetry. That heart pumps till death. What is it?
Pounds. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Which is
whatever he's. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a terrific, terrific.
He hits that.
Line.
You know how that. I can't even do the affectation, but the reggae heart.
Yeah. Did I ever tell you when I was in Jamaica and there was a caller on the beach, Bunny Wailer from the Wailers?
Right, oh no.
Was playing
one of the Wailers.
One of the originals. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, the queens of ska music.
Yeah, cool.
And she was playing that night, and they had a guy walking down the street, and he's like, "Bunny Wailer of the Wailers, it's gonna be hot, and like he just gave this like Bruce Lee hot, and I was desperately trying to record it for the opening of the Novel Sound episode, and I paid him good money to scream into my phone, but it didn't record well, and I just wasn't going to spend all day giving this guy more money. Yeah, he did it well, though. He did it great. So we got this is kind of
a two.
It's really a sensual version.
Yeah, we're going to break it down.
Whoa. Oh, oh. This is Hell Blinky.
Burning hand, I'm gonna live my life to destroy a world. Prime directive, exterminate the whole human race in your face, walls like a mound of flesh. Heart pumps till it pumps in death. Prime directive, exterminate whatever stands left. All I wanna to say, all I've got to do, who'd I do this for? Be you. All I wanna to say.
We've joked about writing a Misfits musical.
Yeah.
When there would be a moment where a guy in like a red smoking jacket and devil horns
like a lounge lizard,
you know, like a red satin suit maybe. This would be that moment. He rises from the center of the stage, puffs of smoke. This is maybe an angel or a devil co-singer.
Okay.
You know, like satin dress, but I see it like all being feathers and very angelic.
Yeah.
Like this big almost wrap, like her arms flourish out and they've got wings, and then they proceed to sing in a nightmare vision to a young Glenn Danzig.
Yeah.
This is the version of the song that would appear.
Huh. So yeah, all right. I'm my mind's racing with possibilities here.
Right.
As we pen the unpenable.
Yeah, exactly. I think the whole movie would be. So one of the things that I was reading.
Is this like a moment of struggle for him? What's he struggling with? Is he doubting his? What is he?
This is divine inspiration.
Okay.
This is that moment where you know the idea strikes him, where it lands upon him. Right. He spent too much time watching television, passed out. The blue light is flickering in his face. The TV descends into the stage, and what rises up is Satan with this angel. And it has to be, because then we can use that angel again for angel fuck or other things.
So I think we get to branch out from the Walk Among Us tracks.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Eventually. Glenn's fever dream kind of stuff. But I was reading, I tortured myself this afternoon by went on to songmeanings.com to see what people
thought. They never fill in the meanings.
No.
They have lyrics and then no meanings.
It ended up being a huge argument about whether My Chemical Romance was cool or not. And so I walked away from the argument. But without even partaking in it, I was just like, this is so bullshit.
Well, also the argument happened like 5 years ago.
Yeah, exactly.
You were reading them.
And one of the things, one of the kids was like, one of the comments, I don't know, it was a kid, said, you know, I wonder how much Glenn Danzig was inspired by Rocky Horror Picture Show. Okay. And I think, and I was like, well, I don't care, but to do a History of the Misfits as a Rocky Horror Picture Show themed thing. Like Glenn and the boys show up at this maybe place and then they are brought in. They become.
Yeah, sure.
Right? They're just normal suburban kids and punk. The allure of this drags them in. I don't know. Or Videodrome, they get sucked into a TV.
Yeah, sure.
So the next two...
That's where they meet Henry Rollins.
Yeah.
And have a TV party.
Tonight. The next two, I can't tell which one I like better. So I'm going to play one of them at random. All right. You tell me A or B.
B.
All right. Here we go. This is DJ Broken Records with Astro Zombies.
First of all, if I had a better like Casey Kasem radio voice, I would have tried to like do like what do you call that when you do the lead in on the radio song and stop right when you start singing.
This is a long distance dedication. Cindy writes, "Dear Casey, last November I was in a graveyard. Something rose behind one of the tombs. It was a ghastly figure with glowing white skin, blood trickling from its lips. It reached out its hands to me in a deathly pale. And I reached out back. Vlad and I will be celebrating our 13th anniversary.
Nice.
13th month anniversary. And we have you to thank. Casey, would you play Astro Zombies by DJ Broken Records?
Yeah, that was good. I love the...
Man, I should do every show with a Casey Kasem introduction. Yeah.
Wasn't he like... Well, I don't want to...
He was undead. Yeah, they actually had this drive a stake through his heart.
I was going to go to a totally different place than that, but we'll just skip that line of thought. That's not a song that I love, but I hope people turn it up and just enjoy that moment. It's a novelty kind of track.
Like, wouldn't you absolutely love to be hosting a... Like a party in, like DJing a party in Florida, like for spring break, like and then just put this on.
One of those party boats.
Yeah. And just the confusion, like I'm dancing to this Caribbean rhythm, but I'm not sure why. Oh my God, it's amazing. All right. Well, that means we're going to go out with Telnet, with the Astro Zombies Telnet remix.
Okay.
But before we do that, do you want to tell people how to contact us and what they should do if they love the show?
Yeah, sure. Hey. Send us an email.
Please?
Please. Send us an email. Cut by Cut podcast.
What should they put in the email, Chris? Maybe they're shy. They don't know what we want to hear.
They can literally send thoughts about the show.
Okay.
I don't know why I had to use the word literally there, but they can send thoughts about the show. Covers that maybe we overlooked.
Yeah.
Issues with maybe things we've said. Maybe we didn't research something well enough, or maybe we misspoke.
Yeah.
They can just tell us how well we're doing. Positive thoughts are also good.
Yeah, that would be wonderful.
Even a note just saying, hey, have a good day. We'll, hope you're doing well today, and we hope you're doing well too.
Yeah, establish a bit of a rapport with us.
We do the social media somewhat, folks. We got cutbycutpodcast@gmail.com. We're at cutbycutpodcast on Instagram.com. We have a Facebook account. So hit that up, like us, share things.
That Facebook is the, like the most.
We're somewhat bad. I think we excel at Instagram, the two of us. We have that personality.
Yep.
I think we excel anyway. We actually post to that. You're the Facebook dude.
We're Instagram.
So. Yay. We have a website, cutbycut.com.
Yep.
Comments can be posted there. All these same thoughts and feelings, put them up there. Tell your friends. Spread the word, spread the love. We're just about to wrap up the whole this Misfits album, and we'd love to hear what everyone's thinking. And I think I ran the gamut there.
I think so too. Yeah. We're on iTunes. We're at Radio Mutation, and you can find us on Podbean if you so desire. All right. Well, this has been Astro Zombies, and we're playing you out with Telnet, which is possibly my favorite. And if you're a Doctor Who fan, you're really in for a treat.
Exterminate.
All I wanted to say, all I gotta do, all I do it for him.
Exterminate! The whole human race!
Exterminate!